As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy!
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds!
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.
Hello and welcome to Front and Nationwide. This is The Athletic's dedicated Blue Jackets podcast. Aaron Portzein with you. We've got a very special edition of Front and Nationwide here to wrap up the regular season. We're going to stay at it. We're not going anywhere, but to put a bow on this Blue Jackets regular season, two games left. We thought we'd bring in John Davidson, president of hockey operations for the Blue Jackets. He'll be our guest for a wide-ranging interview that looks closely at the season that the Blue Jackets have just about put together, but also into the crystal ball of what might lie ahead for the Blue Jackets this offseason and into the future. We'll get to JD in just a couple of minutes. First, some news and notes regarding your Blue Jackets. The two games left in the season, as I said, home against Tampa Bay on Thursday. That's the home finale. And then they go to Friday. They go Friday to Pittsburgh, a back-to-back, and not an easy one as they limp their way to the finish line. The Blue Jackets have some injuries, as you know. Boone Jenner out since March 11th with a back injury. I think people have sort of figured this out, but the club made it official earlier this week that he is done for the season. And that's a shame because Boone Jenner was having a really good season. Not just as the captain, but really an impactful offensive player. Who would have thought among you, be honest now, that Boone Jenner could center Patrick Laine and bring Patrick Laine, this game, back to Patrick Laine-type expectations again? That was a real surprise for me. Credit to both of them for making it happen. They looked pretty good together for big parts of the season, but he has been shut down. It only makes sense. What we're hearing is that surgery is not forecasted, but that there has been improvement, which is a good sign. But just nobody involved, nobody in Jenner's camp or the Blue Jackets feels like there's any reason to push right now and play games. Sean Corrali, who had by all accounts, a fantastic first season in Columbus after signing a four-year free agent contract with his hometown team. He is done for the season as well, broken toe. This is a guy, Corrali, that about maybe 10 days ago was hopeful of playing every game and was on his way to it. And then, boom, he gets COVID. Now he's got this. So he is done for the season. If you've watched the Blue Jackets this season, you know Jenner and Corrali. Wow. Not top six centers by most people's measure, but they were a very important part of this team and played those roles at times. So huge task now in these last couple of games, and maybe it's a silver lining. You get Cole Sillinger experience that he might not otherwise have. You let Jack Roslovic bring on home what has been a really strong finish to the season for him. Had a beautiful no-look pass last night on the power play goal to Oliver Bjorkstrand. Not sure where it stands with Laine. He's missed recent games with an upper body injury and the flu. His status for the final two games, unknown. And many of you have asked about Alexander Texier. Of course, has been away from this team for a few months now. First with the broken finger. After that, for personal reasons, the team has given him all of the space that he wants. We've given him that space, too. I mean, it's our job to sort of stay on top of these things. But, you want to be respectful, and I think we have been for the most part. I spoke to his agent a couple times over the last few weeks, wondering if he wants to say anything, Texier wants to say anything. And in his conversation with Texier the other night, he got back to me today and said that Texier does not want to say anything, does not want to speak to anybody or the media right now. So we go on. I don't think people are wise to read into the situation more than is there. But it is a concern, and I get the concern. It's just uncertainty. I think more than anything, people want to know that he is well. This is a young player who had such an explosive arrival in the NHL this season. His first couple of years, you wondered when it was going to happen. The answer was 2021-22, because he was, for a long stretch, the Blue Jackets' best player, certainly one of their best players. So our concern and our hope is that Alexander Texier is well. His hockey career is secondary, but it would be great, too, if he could get himself into a wonderful place where he can continue to pursue his NHL dreams. But that is a secondary concern, I would say, at this point. So good luck to him. And let's get to John Davidson. JD, of course, is a huge part of this organization. Came here back in 2012 when things really started to take off. Left, I don't need to tell you, things kind of fell apart in those 2 years. And I think you start to see the direction of the club going in a really, really strong direction since they've defined a path here to reset this organization shortly after his return. So let's get to John Davidson. We'll get to a lot of interesting things here. He's always interesting to listen to, and we'll see what's going on with him. So thanks for joining us, and we'll talk to you on the other side. Okay, joined now by Blue Jackets President of Hockey Operations, John Davidson. JD, thanks for being with us. Really appreciate it.
Anytime, Cordy. How are you?
Yeah, doing well. It's beautiful out. It starts to feel like springtime. You start thinking playoff hockey, but you realize the situation. I think all in all, it's been a pretty positive situation in Columbus. Let me start with this, because this is not Blue Jackets related, but this is very much hockey related. The recent passing of two NHL legends, guys you knew and knew well, both as opponents, but also had the utmost respect of them as people, Mike Bossy and Guy Lafleur. Your thoughts on those two gentlemen real quickly, and anything you'd like to say about them and their great lives and careers.
Yeah, I think the first thing, Porty, is how young they were. To be taken away at such a young age is tough. It really is when you really think about it. And it makes a lot of people like myself realize that this is real. Enjoy life best you can. Take care of who's around you and enjoy it. But getting into Mike was a great player, obviously. He was great to play against because both of them play. You could, in those days, the game is great today. It's fast. It's talented. It's deep. But back then it was a way tougher, way, 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 way meaner. And for goal scorers, you got really beat up. Yeah. And for both of these players, for what they went through and to score the way they did, it's a real marvelous achievement. Lafleur, to me, was more of a player that they both did. They raced down the walls, down the wing, big slap shots, or being highly intelligent, how quickly they could get their release off, et cetera. Just two players that really understood how to do what they did, and both players, major parts of huge Stanley Cup winning hockey clubs. And then when you take their personalities off the ice, getting to know them, both strong-willed, very, very opinionated, which was good. In an era, there wasn't a lot of opinions. And both carried themselves with a sense of class and dignity that was special. So to be able to play against both of them, I'm happy I was able to do that, to play against them as real pros. In other words, the forward, the goal scorer against the goalie.
Yeah.
It was a special time. It really was. So I wish both their families all the best. They're two wonderful hockey players, and two wonderful people.
Yeah. Well, condolences to you and all who called them friends. They were, to many of us, great, great players. But to some of you, were lucky, of course, to know them personally. Let's get to the Blue Jackets now. This season is not over yet, so I don't want to talk in past tense just yet. But I think on the whole, and we just did a Blue Jackets fan survey, I think most people, certainly the respondents, agreed, this has overall been a very positive season given the process that everybody knew you were undertaking. And I think some would even say you overachieved a bit. What are your thoughts as this thing comes near the finish line on what this season, it was a lot of questions asked and a lot of answers provided. What do you think of this season as a whole, if you have to step back and look at it?
It was a great learning experience, I think, for a lot of the players and coaching staff. I thought that we had a lot of good moments, very special moments. And then there was a period of time where we were stuck in a pothole.
Yeah.
But we climbed out. We climbed out, and I think as a team, and I was saying this to Brad Larson, the culture for me coming in, I was away a couple of seasons.
Yep.
But the culture for me is getting to where I like it. And I think it's something that when we see people like Boone Jenner and Zach Werenski, amongst others, carry the team though with leadership. And then we see young players. An example, I think, would be primarily Cole Sillinger.
Yeah.
Blankenberg, the way he's come in, Johnson, the way he's come in, they're young guys, but you can see they respect the game. And I think when you start putting all that together and making sure, even though we know we're out of the playoffs, to play the game the right way. Now we go out west and we lose three games out in California, but each one was by one goal. Tough starts in games, battle back real hard, but didn't get blown out or anything like that.
Nope.
We've like many other teams, have had more than our share of injuries, et cetera, yet they battle hard. So I think when we try to assess this thing and try to be honest, I like the majority of stuff that happened when you're in, as you mentioned, the process of trying to become a better team. But there is needs. One of the, for sure, is the goals against has to change. I mean,
yeah,
no good. You can't be in the bottom five in goals against and expect to be a playoff team. It's not going to work. But knowing our club going into the season, we knew there would be some deficiencies. I think that's become very obvious. But there's been a lot of good things to hang your hat on.
Yeah. Well, it's fascinating to me. You still have a chance here to be the team that scores the most goals as for this franchise and allows the most goals. So we're talking high event hockey here, if you will.
Not boring.
Yeah, not at all. And I think that was what some people may have expected this year. It's got to be difficult. And, you know, you take Seth Jones out, you take David Savard out. I think you know there's going to be a lot of uncertainty on the back end, but I'm not sure it's just the back end. Is it also your forwards? Is it the goaltending? How do you discern what it is that needs to – probably all of it is the answer, but what needs to be sharpened or fixed or tweaked to get that goals against number down? You're close to three. I mean, you've set a franchise record there. Like I said, it's too high. It's got to come down. What's the path to that? Do you know yet?
I think it's a little bit of everything, like you mentioned. I think we've addressed it with as management. Jarmo's the conduit with Jarmo Kekalainen, our GM, with the coaching staff. And, you know, we talk about systems, talk about this, talk about that. And I think our team has gotten better with the system play in their own zone.
Yeah,
you can see, I think, with playing Elvis in goal as much as he has down the stretch, which is healthy for him, and he needed to do it. But next season, we might be in a playoff hunt down the stretch. And we're going to need a goalie to play most of the games. And then if we happen to get into the playoffs, we need a goalie that can play the majority of the games. So Elvis has never done this before. So this has been a real test for him, and he's done pretty well with it. So, and I think with that being said, we're also seeing his save percentage and goals against getting better as we, and I know it's not playoff hockey, but we I think, have played better defensively, at least in recent times. And that is a combination of the goaltending being good. It's a combination of the team itself understanding how to play in their own zone. When you play a man-on-man system, and and it being a very young team, when you play in big scoring chances the last two periods, the other team does score. Tampa scores. They've been together so long; they've got so many quality scorers. They can do that. For us, we're learning to defend teams like that, and I think we'll be better for it going into next season. And I think. We also know that we have to look at things. Is it the defense? Is it the forwards? Is it the forwards not coming back the way they should come back? All that thing, all of those things have to be looked at without question. Is it size? Is it this? Is it face-offs? What is it? Or is it a little bit of everything? But we'll study that and get to it.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Yeah. Let me keep you there on Elvis, if you can. I think goaltenders see goaltenders through their own unique sort of prism. And yourself, of course, as a former netminder, what do you see when you see when you look at Elvis Merzlikins, his game, his personality, all of the whole package?
Yeah, he's an interesting individual, and I like his personality. I just think that as you mature in this game at the NHL level, you'll learn to I don't know if control the emotions is the right wording, or control your energy level where you're not wasting energy on things. And he's an A personality. He's got a fast twitch the way he thinks and plays, which is a lot of that's really good. But sometimes when you just, hey, calm down a little bit, everything's going to be okay. Remember, you know, there's a lot of hockey here. And I think he's really come a long way with that. I was talking to Manny Legacy, the goalie coach, about it. We really feel strong that the coaching staff, you know, a goalie coach can talk to the goalie a lot of times. Sometimes when you get the head coach involved or whomever involved, it's a different voice. Everybody hears it, and everybody grows from it. So I think that when you see Elvis and you see how his ability is, and he's got ability, he's got the right body for it, but he's still a learning goaltender regarding the NHL. And I think he's come a long way, especially in the second half of this season.
Yeah. His best play has been down this stretch here where he's been used and played like never before, really. I mean, his numbers are pretty impressive over the last month or so.
And that's what I mean by playing and learning and not worrying and just not thinking. Just get yourself in the mode. You're an NHL goalie. You want to be a starter. You're going to play a lot. Just get yourself ready, play, finish the game off, get yourself ready and play again and not worry about. And I'm not saying he is, but you don't need to worry about every single little thing that's going on. You just play the game. And I mean, I retired at 29 because of injuries, but I will say when I was 29 in my last training camp, I had figured out a lot of stuff. It was a little late, but I figured it out. And that's just how it works. And he's gone through that. Now it's been I think that when you see our team and you want to hang your hat off of or hang your hat on the wall on things you've accomplished, that may be one of the key ones. The fact that Elvis was able to play a lot of hockey, which toughens a person up, and he's done pretty well with it.
Yeah. Brad Larson, first year as head coach, he's been around the organization for a long, long time. So I find myself even forgetting that this is his first year. But it's different when you're in that in the big seat when you're the guy making the decisions, not the top assistant anymore. What do you make of his performance in his first year as head coach of the Blue Jackets? I remember the just when the news came out last year, there were lots of people who wondered, who wanted a complete different change, a whole new voice, thinking this was more of the previous coaching or just an extension. They wanted something entirely new. I think a lot of those people have come around, and I think the results speak for themselves. But your opinion of Brad Larsen in his first year?
Well, I think that, to be frank with you, when I first came back to the Blue Jackets after leaving the Rangers, the coaching search had begun. Yeah. And so I come into the picture, and it's a lot of it had already been done, the legwork. And I said, whoa, let's just not leave any rock unturned. And I kind of made everybody go through the process again, including Brad Larsen. And Jarmo had told me that everything, and you heard about it, the Lars bar, in other words, the bar was set with Brad Larsen there. Nobody was above it. And it was true. By the time we got finished everything, everything pointed in that direction. And that also included the leadership players on the team, where they had a chance for something completely new too. And so we decided, and good for Jarmo and Brad, and Brad stole himself, and away we went. And he built his staff, of course, getting Pascal Vincent from Winnipeg, I think, has been very helpful. He just works. He gets it. And I think he's been a good sounding board for Lars. Lars and Jarmo, you have to have a relationship with a GM coach. I think that's been pretty strong. And you know, the other thing, one of the first things that happened, I was at home in New York when I still was living at that home, and the phone rang in the middle of the night. And that's when Kibbe, unfortunately, passed away, the goalie. And my gosh, I mean, just everything, it was just, and you needed some leadership. And Brad Larsen jumped in his car and drove to Detroit and spent time with everybody that was involved. I mean, that's the leadership that you need. I mean, he just got up in the morning, jumped in his car and drove to Detroit. Right. And he was hands-on with everybody. And he has a special way about himself when it comes to those things. And I think with his honesty and his compassion, his hockey knowledge, you don't see panic on the bench. I just think it's been a plus. It really has, and good on him. Again, in my discussions with him, we're not a playoff team. He has this gut feeling, and that he's overly excited about our future. He just senses it, feels it, as do I, as does Jarmo, as does Rick Nash and others, Basil McRae and Josh Flynn. We feel strong about where we're going. The biggest thing is, it's the old story, even as a hockey player, play fast, but don't be in a rush.
Yeah.
In other words, work your tail off, but don't be crazy by rushing.
Yeah.
So we're going to continue to try to do things properly here. And then when we become what we want to become, we can take a run at it for a long time.
Yeah. And I think just watching this team, and this, for me, this is a real measure of a coach too. This team has played its ass off. It's not good enough some nights, and everybody realizes that, but they play their asses off, and they have for probably the last 3.5 months with very, very rare exception.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. And I mean, I'll even take a Patrick Lyon. I think that the Lars and Patrick relationship is very strong.
Yeah.
There's a great deal of trust, and we saw Patrick come a long way when he was healthy and on during the season. You can see, for me at least, when I see him on his game and he starts up ice, the fans at home, you can just feel it that they're getting excited as he's going down the ice. You don't find many players like that. Jake Voracek comes here and he hasn't scored a lot of goals, but my Lord, has he ever set up a number of them?
Yeah.
A huge number. And he likes it here. There's ways management can get feel temperature of the organization regarding players and their want to be here. To see Corrali come in and play as well as he has, for me, is a big bonus. Yeah. Roslovic has become a hockey player. That's just all it is. When he had his big, big, big turnover in Calgary, it was Roslovic and Brad Larsen that got together. And Jack was almost in tears because of the turnover. And it wasn't long after that, he's killing penalties, and now he's getting more ice. And he's a pretty good hockey player.
Yeah,
so we're seeing those things. And then the other way you measure a lot of this stuff, you talk to trainers about the feel of the players and how they're treated. And the wives and girlfriends, they love it here. I'm just telling you, because I make sure that stuff gets checked out. So I think we're in a real good spot with the culture, with the players, and with their better halves, and with their team concept and how hard they work. Now, summer out of them. I mean, yeah. There's guys here that can get a whole lot stronger. And the only time you do that is during the off season.
Right.
And we're going to have a long one. So we're going to push and expect a lot from these players.
Yeah. What are the real eye-openers this year? I sort of think of Boone Jenner, and I guess in this regard, in the same light as Brad Larson, where it's a guy you know well, but here's a new role for him this year, and you're never quite sure how a player is going to handle being captain. That means it can be quite a burden for some guys.
Mm-hmm.
Boone Jenner puts the C on his sweater and was maybe more of a driver of play than he has ever been. And the whole thought that he couldn't play with Laine, well, he played with Laine better than just about any other center has, certainly in Columbus. Boone Jenner had a fantastic season. How impressed were you by his season? And B, how big a concern is this back injury for a guy who plays as hard as he does? Mm-hmm. I mean, that's not going to change if you know Boone Jenner. How concerned are you long term about his back injury? I hear it's getting better. Surgery's not a consideration, so it's going in the right direction. But back injuries can be tough.
Yeah, very much so, going in the right direction. I'm one of those guys that I'm a believer, especially with backs, try to be patient with it, get it better. But if it doesn't, then you got to do something, because this is the profession that hockey players have. You got to be healthy.
Yeah.
So the doctors and Boone and everybody else feels very comfortable where he is. So I'm not concerned about it at all. I think the C made him even better because he was ready for it. Yeah. Sometimes you can take and put a C on a young player that you know. I mean, how many times, Porter, you heard it? How many times did you hear that Boone Jenner is here now? Well, he's a future captain. He's a future captain. We heard it a thousand times.
Wrote it a million times myself, yes.
Yeah, but so when the timing's right, you do it. Otherwise, it is a burden. And for him, he's the type of guy, when you see him in the hallway or on the aircraft, in the hotel, whatever, he looks at you right in the eye and talks.
Oh,
you know, he doesn't walk by staring at his shoelaces or anything like that. No. He doesn't get intimidated with anything. He did well on faceoffs. I mean, even in the overtimes, the team would start him and then he'd change. I thought his skating pace picked up a stride. Maybe it's because at the center ice position, you got to do a lot of skating. That's one thing you just have to do. And his compete level and his one-on-ones there, the battles, I mean, he's just there all the time. So he's the type of player that you love to have on your club, and then when you put him into the leadership role and he even becomes better, that's pretty good stuff. So you certainly pencil him in for another terrific season next season, along with some of the others for sure.
Yeah, you mentioned Patrick Laine too. I want to chat about him for just a second more too. Mm-hmm. We're in conversation with Blue Jackets president of hockey operations, John Davidson. You know, it was such a rough year for so many people last year. Laine was at the top of the heap. He looked lost. You wondered where it was going. And to me, this is one of the real positive stories of the season, because it was just, you mentioned fans going crazy just as he carried the puck up the ice. I mean, he's got the whole building's attention. He's one of the few players that can generate that just by his presence. It had to be reassuring to see him have that level of goal production that he did early in his career in Winnipeg, to be able to have it in a Blue Jackets sweater. And can you just talk about how the whole view of that player and really the trade that you made last year has changed over the course of this season?
Yeah, Yarmo and the staff made the trade, Porty. And I think with both Laine getting himself acclimated to the team, to the city, the whole thing. And then to see him have production was very gratifying. And the improvement in the second half from Jack Roslovic, that's good stuff. That's really good stuff. Because if it goes the other way completely, then that's there's an issue. There's an issue. But in talking to Patrick and having the understanding from most people around him, he really likes Columbus, just loves it, and really wants to be here. And there's been discussions, and I'm sure they'll continue. And with everybody's blessing, I'm sure he's going to be here with the Blue Jackets for a good period of time. That's important for us. I think that's something that, I mean, there's no reason why it can't get done. So if a player wants to be here, we want him to be here, then we got to make a deal. It's that simple. But it's not that simple, as you know.
It should be.
And then again, with Roslovic, having him find his game. You know what's interesting about Jack is Yarmo's always liked him back to the days when Yarmo scouted.
Sure. Yeah.
He always liked him. And, you know, I've seen him play a lot, but to see him now mature on the ice, fewer giveaways. His skating ability with his edges and his quick turns and all that. Yeah. It's really good. Now he's starting to shoot the puck. He's starting to do a lot of things. So you see good stuff there. So yeah, I see Laine in particular, and he's going to have turnovers. All the great players do. I was in New York for a long period of time with Mark Messier, and he had turnovers. That's just what they do because they're willing to try plays. So, this is interesting for sure.
Yeah. And we mentioned Cole Sillinger, but I keep thinking to myself throughout this whole season, what the hell were you doing at 18 years old? I mean, holy, 18 years old, right? It's, the way that this kid carries himself, the way he competes, just the way he's comported is so impressive. I remember the moment you drafted him. A good friend of mine, a good friend of the program, John Buccigross, described Cole Sillinger as being, it was just like he was born to do it. And I keep coming back to that because it just seems like such the perfect phrase. This kid's done nothing to dissuade that notion from you guys this season, eh?
He's getting better and better. I turned pro at 19. I was with the Blues in St. Louis, and I wasn't as mature as this kid. I wasn't even close.
Yeah.
And this kid's 18, not 19, like I was.
Yeah.
I think that, you know, the other night I was driving home after one of the games, and there was an interview on the radio, and it was one of our players talking about taking care of Blankenberg and Ken Johnson. And he changed, boy, he carried himself. I couldn't quite figure out who the heck it was. And it was Sillinger.
18.
And he was acting like he was 28 years of age.
Right.
18. Yeah. It was quite remarkable. But, you know, you can tell sometimes with people like him, it's the family upbringing, and a lot of people mentioned his dad, a lot of people mentioned his mom, and to have that and doing things the right way, it sure gives you a good start. And then he's got a body that's not 18. His body's thick and is strong. Already. He's been hit a couple of times. Remember, he got blown up in Florida.
Oh, God. When
Bennett got him, and then there was one last, was it last against Tampa? Where there was a big collision, and he didn't go down. He went back a step, and then he just kept going. And I watched that stuff to see how they – does that intimidate them? Does it hurt them? Does it do this or do that? This kid's just like a train. He just keeps going. Yeah. And I look at this, and I'm going, he's 18. I can hardly wait till he's 23 or 24. I want to see this. I want to see this. It's pretty special.
Yeah, that's great. And one more about this year's team before we move on to just a couple of questions about the future. When you look at this team play, there's been a couple nights, difficult nights, where physically this team has been overwhelmed. And I think really what changed with this team is when they started, and this is Larson saying it, has said it a bunch of times too, the physical play picked up towards the end of January.
Yeah.
Checks got finished. Hits were followed through on more than they were during that stretch where things weren't really going your way at all. But when you play that way, you're going to get pushback. And there have been some nights where the pushback has been to the point where maybe it was a little too much for your team to handle. Young team. But what is the need for toughness, immediately toughness? Because you're going to be a young team next year too.
What's interesting there is in the first half of the season, I don't know if it was even the half, but there was games where we had 8 hits, 10 hits, 11
yeah.
hits.
Right.
I'm going, this doesn't make sense. We've got to get people. I remember even myself as a goalie, we were going into the playoffs one year. Jerry Cheevers was the goalie for Boston.
Oh, yeah. Great basket.
And he said, oh, we needed a win somewhere for the Rangers. And he says, hey, listen, when you start the game, make sure you give somebody a good shove and a bang. And it's just, it'll start something that'll get going. He says, so that was his way of getting the adrenaline flow going.
Right.
I believe you. If you're gonna play hard. Did you see that hit the other night by Meyer when he hit Cashin?
Oh my God! Yes,
mine on too. Cashin.
Right?
Yeah, yeah. Right.
And then Corrali followed up.
Yeah, exactly yeah. right. And I'm going, this is just how you play the game.
Yeah,
guys, and some guys that aren't real big, strong, mean guys just bump people, knocks them off stride a little bit. It might make them mad. That's just how it goes. So. I think a couple of things. One is, and I saw Zach Werenski interviewed at home after a period one night, and he got mad and he says, we got to do this in the room. It's up to us. And he's right. It's up to us as management to supply more sides as we move along here, but it's also up to the players to stand up for themselves. Now, that game in Minnesota, they're a big team, no question, built for their playoffs. And they ran us early, but then we lost in overtime. Or was it the shoot? Overtime, yeah. And our guys, we stood right up to them. And they actually spent too much time trying to run us. So I look at it. I want more size. I agree with that. But you can't get carried away with it because sometimes you have to supply a lot of that intestinal fortitude yourselves. Yeah. Now, I know we have young people. We got to protect them as a team. But I think we can get bigger and stronger. Some of it with people we already have, and if we have to find somebody, we will. I watched a good portion of Calgary Nashville last night.
Oof.
That was old time hockey there.
Yeah, yeah.
And I thoroughly enjoyed watching it, and I'm going to see if they play each other in the playoffs. That's almost a must watch.
Yeah.
So you know, I just know that you have to be built for as a team for the long run, and we've recognized that, and we'll see what we can do to address it.
Yeah. Looking ahead now, Christmas Day for many Blue Jackets fans is May 10th.
Yeah.
It's when the NHL lottery is. Do you have a rabbit's foot, JD, or do you have a lucky charm, or how do you go about it? You've been through many of them.
Yeah.
Now, forgive me, I'm getting my ears crossed up. Were you in New York? Did you?
Yeah.
You moved up with Lafreniere from where? Was it 10 to 1?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, we ended up 1.
What did you do that
I
night?
I do have something I'm going to. I remember I was when we ended up getting Dubois at 3, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I was in the airport heading to Toronto for the lottery, and a fella stopped me in the airport and he gave me a dollar bill, and he said, "Here, put it in your pocket." And I did, and we did move up. If we could have had 1 or 2, it might have been, who knows? But at least it worked. But I also have something from New York that I had that I'll keep in my pocket. I'd kind of like to. Yeah, no, it's Officer Stephen McDonald, who was recently passed.
Yes.
He was a great Rangers fan who was shot in the line of duty and was paralyzed. And I have a photo of him that I keep all the time in his wheelchair. And I'll keep that with me for sure and see where it goes. You know, we have both Chicago's pick, unless they're one. Yeah, we have Chicago's pick and ours. If Chicago gets 1 or 2, it goes to them.
Yeah.
And then we get their pick next season. And you know what? Whatever it is. And we're going to deal with it. Our scouts are out working their tails off. They're all over in Germany right now at the under 18. In fact, Jarl's there too. It's a great tournament, by the way. I've been watching quite a bit. It's been fun to watch. U.S. team is very good. And we'll find some more talent to add to our team. And looking forward to getting Texier back in. He was starting to really come. Chinakoff, I haven't seen him unleash a shot yet. But he's got to learn. This is a league where you got to do things quicker, you know. And Zach Werenski's been banged up. He's going to come in healthy and hungry. And there's just some good stuff happening that we got to pay attention to.
You mentioned the Texier. I've been talking to his agent a bit. Texas doesn't want to say anything to the media. Doesn't want to talk to the media. Even make a statement. That's of course totally up to him. Can you shed any light on his situation? Are you sure he's going to be with you next fall? Is that your expectation?
Well, my expectation is yes. And talking to Yarmo and others, he's working hard. He's been on the ice. He's working out. He needed the break for a number of reasons. So That's his department. But he's a player that really started to come, and then some circumstances led to him leaving. But along with a broken finger. But I really do look forward to seeing him come back. You know, one other player we haven't mentioned. I got to mention, because this guy has really grown on me, and that's Gavrikov.
Yeah,
Lordy, this guy is a big moose who plays his tail off with a great sense of humor and a great mood for a player around the others. He, of course, comes from Russia, so he's going through a lot. But his there's something about that guy that likes playing the game, and he's another guy that likes Columbus a lot too, a lot. Yeah. So I hope he's here for a long time.
He's been great. Can you say, do you want Chicago's pick this year or next?
No, it doesn't matter to me. It just doesn't. If we get it, we'll find another player. And the thing about that is, if it's this year's pick, then we start developing that player even sooner. And it's also a situation where we're and if it's next year, it's next year, and it might even be one or two then next year. So
absolutely,
my feeling is it's an old lose situation. The thing is that when you build up assets in this business, you can maybe do something special with all your assets that you have. So we'll see where it all goes.
Yeah, that's awesome. John Davidson, thanks so much for your time. I appreciate it.
Enjoyed it, Cordy. All the best to you. Thank you.
Yeah, good conversation. Thank you. We'll see you over there at the rink soon.
You bet.
All right, folks, there you have it. Good conversation with John Davidson. I thought it was pretty interesting, some of the stuff we got into. He's as optimistic as many of you all are. I think that came through loud and clear. Interesting stuff. As I say, we're going to keep at this. We're going to keep as long as probably for at least the next month of the off season, where there's still some stuff percolating. And we know there's news coming in the next few days here. The Blue Jackets will clean out their lockers on Saturday, the morning after the Pittsburgh game. So there'll be some news over the weekend as well. Stay tuned. And thanks for listening. We do appreciate it. Thanks to our producer, Danielle Lehman. And we'll talk to you all in a week. Thanks. Take care.
Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets, and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.